Wednesday. Isn't it? It's Thursday. What day is it? Why do you do that to me, Bill?
Because it's Wednesday.
Thank you, Kelly.
Welcome to the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. The part of our show that's not ready for regular radio. It's Bill and Wendy. Wendy, very apprehensive about doing the day of the week.
I love how you help me. You know, I consider you my partner.
Right.
I couldn't remember what day of the week it was.
Yeah.
And I said, is it Wednesday? And he just looked at me with this blank face, did not say a word.
You had a 1 in 7 chance and you nailed it.
I know, but when I did it, you looked at me like, nah,
you're on your own
with that. It is Wednesday. I like to call this part of our show Bill Leff Unleashed because he gets very silly.
Yes.
You will not have time to get silly today because coming up later on, you will be hosting a WGN Epperty game.
Right, a Saturday Night Live version. Some member of our studio audience here today is going to win a very, very nice prize, and then two other people will win almost nothing, really, very small prizes that are embarrassing to talk about. Kelly Leonard is here. Kelly is the Executive Director of Insights and Applied Innovation at Second City, and by proxy, a member of the WGN family. Your dad, of course, the great Roy Leonard. How are you, Kelly?
Great to see you. Good to see you.
Thank you so much for being here.
I also have to introduce Judy Pilek, who's here, too. She needs to be sitting in a high chair. I noticed it.
Did you do this on purpose?
No. But, Bill, we have to introduce Judy because we did tell her to come here for
right,
the noon
true,
hour. So
true.
We don't have to talk to her.
No,
we just have to introduce her
that she's here.
I feel right at home.
Kelly, there is a definite line from our own Second City to Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
How did that work out? What happened that made this? It's almost like the AAA, if you were a baseball team and you have a AAA team of getting ready players to go to the majors. That's kind of what Second City has become in a way.
Right. And I'm lucky enough that when I started at Second City in the late 80s, the founders were still around.
Yeah.
So in 1975, when this was all happening, Second City was not happy about it.
No.
I mean, they were like...
They stole their people.
You stole like our best people.
Yeah.
And they freaked out and they ended up creating their own show in Canada called SCTV, which became kind of a big hit and launched the careers of John Candy and Martin Short and all those folks. But what we realized over the years was it's the biggest megaphone that you could ever have to promote Chicago comedy and Second City.
Right.
So it was sort of the gift of, like, you lose talent, but you gain recognition.
Yeah.
And then here's the other cool thing, is when you lose someone, it then opens up a slot for the next great person to come along.
Oh,
so it was kind of the gift of, like, oh, now we've got room to find the next Tina Fey, you know, or the next Stephen Colbert, or, you know, he's not Saturday Night Live, but, you know, that's the kind of way it works. So we kind of... you know, got at peace with it, and so it wasn't awkward when they'd come and visit and take the talent away. It was more like, this is a rite of passage.
It is pretty exciting when you see Chicagoans on the cast of SNL.
Oh, totally.
It really is.
Yeah, and you know, and it's gone on for so long. I mean, you have that original cast, right? So Dan Aykroyd was Second City Toronto. Belushi was Second City Chicago. Gilda was Second City Toronto. And then Bill Murray joined the next year out of Chicago. So that, yeah, like, and then a bunch of the writers as well. And so, yeah, my favorite moment was Adam McKay, who you guys will know as Will Ferrell's partner. He directed The Big Short and all that. He was the head writer of Saturday Night Live, and he knew he was leaving. And he came and saw Tina Fey in the cast and was sort of like, I think that's the next head writer.
Really?
And so she came in as a writer for one season, became head writer the next season.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Has anybody counted how many people have gone from Second City, either in Chicago or Chicago and Toronto?
I literally just had that idea 5 minutes ago.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Listening to you, like, someone should do that.
Yeah.
I mean, when we first came into the exhibit, you know, got the wall of all the talent, and we started doing that, we're like, oh, maybe we should, like, have a little mark there for Second City. Cast members, it's well over 30.
Yeah.
If you add in writers, it's probably close to 100.
And the same thing goes on when you go to Second City on Wells Street. They have pictures of people who are now, you know, household names, but at the time were just Chicago actors who were working at Second City.
Yeah, that they didn't know at all. I mean, you wouldn't recognize Tina Fey from her Second City photos.
Right.
And then, like, Amy Poehler was never in a resident stage show at Second City, but she was in the touring company. And Seth Meyers was never in the touring company, but we did produce his two-person show when he was here in town. So there's an extension even beyond the stages.
So what do you think it is about this city and the sense of humor of Chicago and the sensibility of Chicago that is kind of that pathway to Saturday Night Live. What's going on? What's in the water here?
I have a theory about this.
What is it?
My theory is, if you look at all the sort of innovative stuff that's come out of Chicago, so improvisation, house music, the blues, spoken word, all of that is unownable.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
So it's really focused just on making the art great, making the people you're playing with great. A lot of it is ensemble-based. So if then you look at like what's going on, you've got people who are really experienced in their craft, getting better because they're playing with people who are better than them, not worried about money, so they're just worried about the funny.
Yeah.
And then they go make their money when they go to L.A. and New York. And it's not that people at Second City don't get paid, they just don't get paid well.
Right, so. Right.
But that's all about following your passion. You have to do what you love, and the money will follow, hopefully.
Right, and I think as we've all discovered, generally speaking, the more money you make, the less funny you are.
Oh, well, I never thought about that.
That's
right?
Absolutely true.
Think about there's many, many people. I mean, I'll just throw this one out because he's not Second City, but Eddie Murphy early in his career was like the funniest human being on the planet.
Yeah.
And have you seen anything he's done in the last 20 years?
Including his appearance on SNL, which was not very
funny.
Good.
The anniversary show.
It was not funny.
This may be a little inside, but I'm curious what you think about this. Second City has a way of training their actors and actresses of saying, you don't really want to stand out. You kind of want to blend in. You're part of a team here, so don't try to stand out. But then when you're on Saturday Night Live, you almost want to stand out.
Well, here's the key to that. So in improvisation, we have this idea you need to make your partner look good.
Yeah.
And you do that because...
Thanks for that, by the way, Bill.
We did earlier. Oh, that was next.
By the way, terrible improvisation open the segment. I was going to note you later. I'll note it on the air.
Yeah.
Really bad improv.
Yep.
But the idea there is when you make your partner look good, that reflects back on you. Mm. And there's actually some science around this. Adam Grant, who wrote the book Give and Take, who's a Wharton Business School professor, talks about some of the most successful people and happy people in the world are ones who look to give back first.
Yeah.
And it isn't actually an irony. It makes sense because when you come out of an ensemble-based tradition where you make your partner look good, what does Second City produce? Nothing but stars.
Yeah.
And then beyond Saturday Night Live, look at the ensembles that were like Cheers, 30 Rock, you know, all these different shows that also are populated by improv people.
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No question about it. Kelly Leonard is here, Executive Director of Insights and Applied Innovation over at Second City. We're talking about that transition from our own Second City here in Chicago to the stage on Saturday Night Live. And we're going to talk about a very important night coming up on March 8th that you're a part of. We'll get to that next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on the stream on WGN. Wendy, right now.
Oh, that's gross.
You can't tell, but I am.
We are live in action from the Museum of Broadcast Communications on State Street in this beautiful city of Chicago. Saturday Night Live, The Experience. Are you guys getting excited to take the tour after we get off the air? It is so, as Bill and I keep saying, it was great. It was better than anticipated.
Right. Right. And then when this closes, Wendy, I don't know if you saw, but the Two Broke Girls exhibit goes in as soon as this is done. That's going to be fun, too. Kelly Leonard is here, Executive Director of Insights and Applied Improvisation at Second City. A very important night coming up on Thursday, March the 8th. Kelly, what goes on then?
So, yeah, we're doing a cool panel here where we're going to talk about what really happens when you go from Second City to SNL. So we've got Tim Kazurinsky, who's an alum who was both a member of Second City and Saturday Night Live. Myself, Ann Libra, who's the Director of Comedy Studies, who knows all about the history. She's a professor of comedy, and I'm married to her. And Beth Kligerman, who's the Director of Talent at Second City. So Beth literally is the one meeting Lorne Michaels at the door for the last like 26 years.
Really?
Yeah.
So to be clear, you're only married to one other person on this panel, correct?
As far as I'm able to admit.
Just
want a
full disclosure on that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Boy, that sounds like a fun night.
Yeah, and we also have some cool video we're bringing with us. You're going to get to see SNL characters when they were first on stage at Second City, including Chris Farley as Matt Foley, the motivational speaker. So
that's where it all started on that stage.
That's where it started. And, you know, he didn't write that. I don't know if you guys know this. He was in the cast with Bob Odenkirk, whose career
Saul.
Has taken a Saul, yeah, taken a very a very unfunny turn, but cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bob wrote that. And he wrote the character for Chris to perform. And then that became, you know, just one of the greatest characters ever on Saturday Night Live.
I think that character had the propensity to make other cast members laugh harder than anything I'd ever seen on the show. They're not supposed to break during the show.
No, but Chris is completely out of control.
Right.
I mean, this is the thing at second. I actually remember he was so out of control one night he broke his leg.
Yeah.
His understudies weren't available. And a guy named Ian Gomez, who was a host at the time, said, "I can do the part." And he literally did the part, then got hired for Second City. You've seen Ian a million things. He's married to Nia Vardalos. But it's one of those great stories of, like, stepping in at the right time.
Yeah.
Good timing on that. Kelly, explain this mixture. Saturday Night Live over the years has had a way of blending improvisational actors, sometimes from Second City, sometimes not, with stand-up comics, with actors. How do they figure out the formula, and does it always work, do you think?
No, it doesn't always work, and I think the least success they've had is with stand-ups.
Yeah.
Because the stand-up mentality is one where you're doing it alone.
That's not the team effort, right?
That is not the team effort, and that's a real ensemble show. So a lot of the people that you mentioned who have one season are people who don't come out of a background in sort of improv-based comedy, and the vast majority of the people who succeed come out of exactly that.
But there are exceptions. I would argue that Dana Carvey, for instance, is one of Saturday Night Live's greatest assets over the years.
Oh, I'd agree with
that. His backup was through stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
But he figured it out.
He figured it out. And then the other thing they do is they'll stick the stand-ups behind this desk, Weekend Update desk.
Right, right, right.
So Norm Macdonald was behind there, and, you know, Colin comes out of improv. Michael Che doesn't.
Yeah.
So a lot of those folks also are more successful when they're doing the news.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the exact Weekend Update desk.
Yeah.
That Tina Fey used, Seth Meyers, I believe.
Amy Poehler.
Was it the same chairs? Because they're really low.
Really low. I don't think they're giving us our best look. Someone tweet at Tina Fey and let's find out.
Would you say that because of Saturday Night Live, audiences who come to Second City are a little bit different than they were in earlier days?
Oh, absolutely.
They are, right?
Yeah, I mean, the stories that I heard was, I mean, before the mid-70s, like, Second City was very well known, but we weren't like a national iconic institution. We only had like one touring company, and then literally after Saturday Night Live debuted, by the end of the 70s, we had three touring companies.
Yeah.
We opened up a second theater in Chicago, and now we have a third, fourth, fifth, sixth. So that show is directly responsible for putting a lens on this work. And the other thing it's done is, when I started Second City, the training center, the classes that we hold, had roughly 100 people in them.
Yeah.
Today, 4,000.
Jeez. Wow.
Right now, studying, and not all those people are looking to do this to get onto SNL. Some are there for other reasons, but a lot of them, like, people move here to do this as a path to hopefully go to Saturday Night Live.
But then, does that change the process of Second City teachers? Do they teach the students, you have to try to find characters now, as opposed to the old days where it was the scene?
No, we haven't changed our thing. I mean, that's what's interesting about it, right, is that when you take an improv class, really you're unlearning. So you are you're learning to become less selfish, to listen better, to give focus to other people, all those behaviors that then we can come in and give you some skills building in comedy and improvisation.
And you mentioned the unselfish and to untrain you. That helps in every aspect of your life, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, like,
marriages,
Second
parents,
yes.
Everything.
So this, I mean, the
job.
The growth at Second City is not that we've got, you know, like, all these different kinds of shows. It's the work we're doing with corporations, or the work we're doing with Parkinson's patients and kids on the autism spectrum. I mean, that stuff is very powerful because it's about recreating recognizable human behavior and finding ways that people can be better with other people. And if we think of what gums up the works everywhere, family, work, there's a scholar who once said that people aren't complicated, it's relationships between people that are complicated. So that's what we focus on, the space between the people and making it better.
Yeah, you're still enjoying
this. You do good
work. Yeah.
You just did an amazing job.
But you're still, how could you not enjoy this? You're laughing every day, right?
No, it's great. And what's interesting, like, the timing was so great, right? Because, you know, my dad said, "I can't get you a job out of college, but I can get you an interview." So he's the one who got me the interview with the folks at Second City. So I was able to come in at a time where you have that sort of legacy. And then, you know, my 30th anniversary there is in October. And the idea of still being, I'm in my early 50s, to still have the energy and excitement to take everything I've learned but now take it to another level,
yeah.
That wasn't an opportunity that the founders had because it wasn't built up as much of it as it is. So a lot of good timing.
It's not just the energy, it's the passion, and we feel your heart coming out here. So you're doing a great job. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thanks, guys.
That's Kelly Leonard, everybody, Executive Director of Insights and Applied Improvisation at Second City. The big night is March the 8th, right here at this very museum. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
From the Sony Pictures Studios, this is Celebrity Jeopardy. And now, here's the host of Jeopardy.
That sounded professional.
All right, I'll tell you something that we talk about improv. Probably during at noon, we should have gone over the rules.
Yeah, that would have been better, right?
Yeah.
We'll do it that way tomorrow.
It's the stream, Bill.
Right, it's the stream where anything can happen.
Rules? You don't need no stinking rules.
Who needs rules? All right, three people here in our studio audience will be contestants on today's episode of WGN Jeopardy. Here's how it will work. I will ask you a question. These are qualifying questions from Saturday Night Live. When you know the answer, shout out the answer. Wendy and Judy, you guys will be the judges. Keep your eyes on the audience. See who answers correctly first.
How about raise your hand as you shout out the
answer?
Oh, that's
polite.
So I can see.
That's so polite.
All right.
All right, question number one. What was the first movie based on Saturday Night Live characters?
Oh.
No, wait.
What?
That's correct. Blues
right.
Brothers
what is
correct.
Name?
Laura, you will be one of our contestants.
Did
congratulations.
Did you steal it from someone, Laura? Did you steal that answer from someone? Oh, okay. You pointed back behind you. All right. Laura's in.
Laura's in. Question number two. What children's television characters had their own segment on the first season of Saturday Night Live?
The Muppets.
The Muppets is absolutely correct. You're
What's
a contestant
your name?
Number two.
Like Lisa with a T.
Tisa. All right, cool.
Laura and Tisa are our first two. Our third and final contestant for this question.
You are way better than Steve Harvey,
which,
I got to tell you.
Thank you, Wendy. And I will attend our Christmas party, unlike Steve Harvey. Which comedian served as the host on the first episode of Saturday Night Live? I saw that. Andy Kaufman is incorrect, sir. I'm sorry.
Did you have one?
What? George Carlin is correct. Yeah.
You're
very
playing.
Good. You're contestant number three.
Ted.
All right. So it'll be Laura, Tisa, and Ted. Those will be our three contestants. Come on up, Ted.
Great job. Those were really hard questions.
Oh, it gets better. Wendy, it gets way better.
Can I tell people what they're playing for?
Yeah.
All right. We have a pair of tickets to Bunny, Gilda Radner, A Sort of Love Story. It's now playing at the Mercury Theater, Chicago. We talked to Alan Zweibel earlier. He wrote it. He is Gilda's lifelong friend, Saturday Night Live writer. It's a tribute play to Gilda. It celebrates her legacy of courage and comedy. You can get tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com or call 773-325-1700. We do have consolation prizes, which I don't really want to give up.
They're not good.
No, they're awesome.
Are they? All right.
I want it.
All right.
We have desktop indoor weather stations.
Oh, they upgraded the consolation prizes. The original ones were not good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to steal one of these.
No, that's a great gift.
American
right.
Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Right now, the dew point is 32.
I was going to ask you what the dew point was, Wendy. It's 32 for people listening at home. All right, here's how it will work, Laura, Tisa, and Ted. Much like regular Jeopardy, there are, well, in this version, there are five categories. Usually, I guess there are six, but there's five correct answers, rated 100 points down to 500 points. When you know the right answer, buzz in by saying your name, either Laura, Tisa, or Ted, much like on the show, except they have real buzzers. All right, so test your buzzer, please, if you would, Laura.
Laura.
Very good. Tisa?
Tisa.
That's working, and Ted? Very, very simple.
Can I just tell you my suggestion, and I think it's Tisa. I would hold the microphone up by your face because you're going to really have to... Yes. Chime in on those buzzers, your name, very quickly.
Can I also make a suggestion? Unplug the other two microphones so that no one can hear your contestant, the other contestants. That would definitely work.
Good advice.
Yeah, my...
All right, Wendy, I'll need two things from you. Number one, when we start playing, I'll need you to go, "This is Jeopardy." I like that, but say WGN Jeopardy because it'll personalize it. And then also when I say, "Here are the categories," do that thing where they go, beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop.
All right.
Will you do that for me?
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right, any questions, Laura, Tisa, or Ted? Everything seems to be in order?
Good.
All right, Wendy, take it away.
This is WGN Jeopardy.
Wow. Oh, my heart. That was very exciting. Thank you so much, Wendy. All right, it is time to play WGN Epperty. As we mentioned, the winner is going to win a fabulous prize. And the people coming second and third, not bad prizes either. It's time to look at today's categories.
Beep boop ba ba beep boop beep boop beep boop ba ba beep boop ba 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 beep boop ba ba boop boop beep boop ba ba. Do I have to keep going?
No.
Okay.
That sounded like Twicky from Buck Rogers. That's what it sounded like. All right, here are today's categories for WGN Epperty. The phrase that plays, hosts, it's all in the detail, three characters, and fun facts. I will remind you as we go on what the remaining answers are. Each of those has a 100, 200, 300, 400, and 500 level. It's up to you to choose whatever you want. There's also somewhere on the board a special Jeopardy where you get to decide the dollar amount. All right? So that's how it works.
What's the sound effect for that?
Yeah, it's up to you.
All right.
All right. Uh-oh. All right. Within reason, Wendy. There could be kids listening. Okay. Here goes. Again, today's categories. The phrase that plays... hosts, it's all in the detail, three characters and fun facts. Laura, you won the imaginary coin toss behind backstage, so please select. Point. Yeah.
Hosts.
For
300.
For 300, the answer is, edging out Macaulay Culkin by 4 years, she was the youngest SNL host ever at age 7.
Tisa.
No, wait. Tisa, I'm sorry. That's right. You can answer this one. Tisa, go ahead.
Who is Dakota Fanning?
Dakota Fanning is incorrect. Tisa, you lose 300 points on that. You're at negative 300.
Laura?
Who is Drew Barrymore?
Who is Drew Barrymore is absolutely right, Laura. You are in the lead. Very nice. Off to a good start. A good gamble, though, Tisa. That would have been a good gamble on yours, but no. All right. Control of the board remains yours, Laura. Go ahead.
Well, we'll stay with hosts for 200, please.
Host for 200, that answer is... this two-time Academy Award winner has hosted 9 times and most recently added David S. Pumpkins to his...
Laura.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is... oh, wait, it must be...
in the- who is Tom Hanks?
Absolutely right. 500 points for you, Laura. Ted, at 0, has not attempted yet. Tisa, in third place, with negative 300. The board is still yours, Laura. Please select.
Let's stay with hosts and for 100.
Hosts for 100. Here goes. This versatile actor has hosted a record 17 times.
Laura.
And now, Laura?
Wow.
Who is Steve Martin?
Steve Martin is incorrect, Laura.
Oh, dear.
You lose 100.
Did you get to finish the question?
Yeah, I will finish for the remaining two contestants. This versatile actor has hosted a record 17 times and now has a side job of playing President
Tisa.
Donald Trump. Tisa, go ahead.
Who is Alec Baldwin?
Alec Baldwin is correct, Tisa.
We need to try Ted's buzzer. I think Ted's buzzer is broken. Try your buzzer.
Your buzzer's okay?
That's good.
Okay.
Say Ted.
Ted. Yep.
Okay. It works.
Ted, I'm going to give you 4 points for that. Laura's in the lead with 400.
These are really tough questions.
These are tough. Oh, they get better. They get tougher.
Boy.
They get tougher. Control the board now. Yours, Tisa. You're in third place. You have these to select from. All of the phrase that plays, 400 and 500 in hosts, all of it's all in the detail, all of three characters, and all of fun facts. What would you like?
Let's do host for 500.
Host for 500. A big gamble. Here goes. The answer is, cast member Nora Dunn and musical guest Sinead O'Connor both boycotted an episode in 1990 hosted by this leather-clad misogynistic comedian.
Who is Andrew Dice Clay?
Absolutely
yes,
right. Nicely done. Nicely done. We add 500 to your score. This gives you 300. You are 1 point behind Laura and Ted. You still have 4 points. Through strange means. But you know, points are points. You still have control of the board, Tisa. Please select.
Let's do host for 400.
Closing out that category for 400 points, the answer is, on May 8th, 2010, after an exhaustive Facebook campaign to land her the job, she became the oldest Saturday Night Live host
Laura.
Ever. Laura?
Who is Betty White?
Who is Betty White? Absolutely correct, Laura.
Very
nicely
good.
Done. That doubles your score, Laura. You are now at 800, Tisa at 300, Ted at 4.
You know Ted's going to win.
I know.
Money's on Ted.
And you know,
and he's going to take it
off.
The way Bill does scores, that can totally happen.
Yeah. It's always exciting that way. Here's what's left. All of the phrase that plays, all of it's all in the detail, all of three characters, and all of fun facts. It's up to you, Laura. What would you like?
You said characters?
Yeah, three characters.
Okay.
I'll explain it when we get to
it. Okay, so we'll go with three characters for 100.
Three characters for 100. Here's how it works. I will mention three famous Saturday Night Live characters. You tell me the name of the actor or actress who portrayed those characters on the show. For 100, here goes. Mr. Robinson, Buckwheat. Tisa was first. Go ahead, Tisa.
Who is Eddie Murphy?
Who is Eddie Murphy is correct. Tisa, nicely played. You're at 400, still trailing Laura, who has 800. Ted, holding up the rear so far at 4, but the night is young. It's your control, Tisa. What would you like?
Same category, 200.
All right, three characters for 200. Here goes. Opera Man.
Who is Tisa?
Tisa, go ahead.
Who is Adam Sandler?
Very nice, very nice.
Good answer!
Tisa, you have made it closer. You now have 600 to Laura's 800. Ted still in third with 4. What would you like to see, Tisa?
Three characters for 300.
For 300, here goes. Aunt Linda.
Tisa.
Tisa, go ahead.
Who is Kristen Wiig?
Wow, yes. Very impressive. Very impressive.
Very good.
You have taken the lead. You now have 900 to Laura's 800. Ted with 4. Tisa, please select.
Three characters, 400.
Very nice. This category has been good to you. Here goes. Herb Welsh. Vinny Vidice, Stefan.
Laura? Hader. Who is Hader?
Can we accept that, judges? I think we can. Yeah. Bill Hader? Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely right.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah, because we're short on time. Otherwise,
Laura, you have no. Right.
Same category, the next amount of money, whatever.
500. Yeah. To close out the character, three characters, here goes. Terry Rialto, Sally O'Malley, Mary Catherine Gallagher.
Tisa.
Wait, Tisa was first. Tisa, go ahead.
Who is Molly Shannon?
Molly Shannon is right. Tisa, you're back in the lead.
Ted almost answered.
Sorry. Tisa, you now have 1,400. Laura, you have 1,200. Ted, I'm going to give you 2 more points for almost answering. You now have 6. You're in this, Ted. You're in it to win it. All right. The phrase that plays is still available. All 5 categories, all 5 answers there. It's all in the detail and fun facts. The last correct answer was yours, Tisa, so what would you like?
Phrase that plays.
The phrase 100. That plays. These are famous SNL catchphrases. I will give you the actor and the character. You then must perform the catchphrase. Okay? Here goes. For one, it was 100? Is that where we were?
100.
Okay. For 100, Dana Carvey's The Church Lady.
Tisa?
Well, isn't that special?
Very nice. Tisa, that was impressive.
She should get double points.
That was very impressive. You are our leader with 1,500. Laura, coming in close with 1,200. Ted, you still have 6. No worries, though. The control of the board goes to you, Tisa. What would you like?
Same category, 200.
Same category, the phrase that plays for 200. Chris Farley's Matt Foley.
Tisa.
Laura.
Tisa was first.
In a van down by the river.
Yep. Yes. Very nice. I would have given you more points if you did that. I live in a van down by the river. We would have also accepted La Di Fraganda. La Di Fraganda. All right, so you are our leader with 1,700. Laura, very close with 1,200. Ted, with 6 points. Control the board, still yours, Tisa. What would you like?
Same category, 300.
All right. For 300 points, the phrase that plays, here goes. Gilda Radner's Rosanna Dana.
Come on, Ted.
Jim. No, Jenna's not playing.
Jim, legally, I cannot accept that. We ran out of time. We would have accepted one of 2 answers. It's Always Something, or Mr. Richard Fetter of Fort Lee, New Jersey, writes. We would have accepted either of those. Oh. Nobody got that right. Tisa's still in the lead with 1,700. Laura with 1,200. Ted with 6. Control the board still is yours, Tisa. What would you like?
Phrase that plays, 400.
Garrett Morris's Chico Escuela.
Tisa.
Tisa was first by a half a second.
Baseball been a very, very good to me.
Yes, absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Is Tisa going to have a one-woman show after
this? You should perform here. That's fantastic.
When I was a kid, that's what I wanted to do when I grew up.
Is that right? Yeah. Is it really? It's paying off today. 2,100 for you. Laura falling a little bit behind at 1,200. Ted's still in the thick of it, though, with 6. Here
Would
goes.
You for me?
control of the board remains yours. Do you want to close out the category or go somewhere
else?
Yeah,
let's close it up.
All right, the phrase that plays for 500. Here goes. Billy Crystal's Fernando. Ted. Ted.
No way. Let's give him an applause.
You look marvelous.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
from out of nowhere.
It comes from nowhere.
Behind.
We would have also accepted it is better to look good
than to feel
yes,
good.
Yes, we would have accepted that as well. Ted, like a phoenix rising from the ashes with 506, you're in third place. Laura, right in the middle with 1,200. Tisa, our leader, with 2,100.
Still not over yet.
It's not over yet. There are still two categories, all five answers. It's all in the detail and fun facts. Ted, I didn't think I'd say this today, but control of the board is yours.
Fun facts.
Fun facts for?
100.
100, the answer is. He has served as producer of Saturday Night Live for 37.
Laura.
Who was first?
I heard Tisa come out before
Tisa was
Laura.
First?
Laura
right.
was louder. Tisa
Laura
was first.
Tisa was first. Go ahead, Tisa.
Who is Lorne Michaels?
Yes, Lorne Michaels is correct. 2,200.
Sorry,
very
Laura.
Nice.
Okay.
Very nice. Four of the five answers are left for fun facts, and all of it's all in the detail. What would you like, Tisa?
Fun facts 200.
Fun facts for 200. That answer is. She was the first female head writer in SNL history and later created 30 Rock about a female
Tisa.
Head.
Tisa. I heard Tisa.
Yeah, Tisa was first, yeah. Tisa,
sorry.
Go ahead.
And I was feeling guilty. Who is Tina Fey?
Yes. With a tinge of guilt, 2,400 for you. You have doubled Laura's score. Ted hanging on, though, at 506. Tisa, what would you like?
Same category, 300.
Fun facts for 300. That answer is, before Fame and Fortune, Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell voiced the animated characters...
Laura.
Laura.
The ambiguously gay duo.
Absolutely right. Very nice,
who
Laura.
Who was that?
That was Stephen Colbert as Ace and Steve
Carell.
Right. Thank you very
really?
Much. I'm giving you a point for that.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
that,
they're Ace and Gary.
Good
yeah.
one.
All right, here's how things stand. Tisa, our leader, with 2,400. Laura in second place with 1,500. Ted still there with 506. Here's what's left. 400 and 500 in fun facts and all five answers, and it's all in the detail. Laura, the board is yours. Where do you want to go?
Fun facts still for 400.
400 for fun facts. That answer is, before joining SNL, Martin Short, Robin Duke, and Tony Rosato were cast members for this Canadian cousin.
Laura.
Ted was first.
I heard Ted.
Ooh,
Ted, yep.
SCTV.
Absolutely right,
question
Ted. Nicely.
In a form
oh,
of a question.
What is SCTV?
Yes, yes.
Good one, Ted.
Ted at 906 in third place. Laura in second place with 1,500. Tisa, our leader, with 2,400. Here's what's left. The 500 answer for fun facts and all five, and it's all in the detail. Somewhere on the board is still our special Jeopardy question where you get to pick whatever you want to bet. So, Ted, the board is yours.
I'll finish up fun facts.
For 500, that answer is... The last name of Chris and Abby, so far the only father and daughter to be regular Saturday Night Live cast members.
What's your name?
Ted?
Chris Elliott.
In the form of a question.
What is Chris Elliott?
What is Elliott? Yeah, the last name of Chris Elliott and Abby Elliott. Wow. Wow. So we add 500. This gives you 1,406. You are just a little bit behind Laura and still in play with Tisa. Tisa has 2,400. Laura has 1,500. Ted has 1,406. What if those 6 points make you the winner?
You know,
wouldn't that have been something? Wouldn't that be something? Here's what's left. It's all in the detail. 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. And one of those is the special Jeopardy question where you get to pick your own total. Ted, the board is yours. You're in third place, but charging for 100. Here goes. Wayne Campbell and Garth Algar had a show on Cable Channel 10.
Laura.
Wayne's
World. What is Wayne's World?
No, that is not the right answer.
Oh, no.
Laura, you lose 100 there. That gives you 1,400 now. I'll finish the question for the remaining two contestants. Wayne Campbell and Garth Algar host a show for Cable Channel 10 in this West Chicago
Tisa.
Suburb, Tisa.
What is Aurora, Illinois?
Yes, absolutely right. Very nice. You're at 2,500.
Schwing.
Laura at 1,400. Ted at 1,406. Here's what's left, 200, 300, 400, 500, all in, it's all in the detail. Where would you like to go, Tisa?
200.
200, here goes. Although now living in New York City, the wild and crazy Festrunk brothers originally hail from this...
Laura, who...
Laura?
What is Czechoslovakia?
Judges?
Where is Czechoslovakia?
It's what is Czechoslovakia? You,
yeah.
you pronounce the country just a little bit wrong.
What did she say?
Did anyone else hear it or just me? Just me? All right, you definitely get it. It's Czechoslovakia.
How do
you
say it?
I heard you pronounce it just a little bit differently.
But she said Czechoslovakia.
All right, you get it. You okay. get it. And Wendy, you're being mean, so you lose 8 points.
I lose 8 points every day.
Laura, you got 200 for that. That gives you 1,600, still trailing Tisa's 2,500. And Ted, you're in third with 1,406. We have the 300, the 400, and the 500 left.
300,
what would you like,
please.
Laura? For 300, here is that answer. This is the musical instrument of choice for the perpetually rambunctious Ed Grimley.
Tisa. What is the accordion?
Absolutely incorrect. Incorrect on that. You lose 300. You're down to 2,200. I'll read the question again. Oh, Laura, go ahead.
What is triangle?
Yeah, the triangle is the right answer
there. That's the same instrument you play.
Yeah, I play the triangle also, the Bermuda Triangle. Tisa, you have 2,200. Laura, you have 1,900. Ted, you have 1,406. There's two answers left. One of them is the Daily Double. I don't know which one yet. We'll find out very soon. Go ahead. Laura, you had the last did Laura or Tisa have the last correct answer?
Laura did,
right? Yeah. Laura, the board is yours.
400, please.
400, here goes. Lisa Loebner's mom, Mrs. Loebner, is famous for this mayonnaise-based concoction. Nobody getting that one. Wendy, I know you know the answer to this one. Mrs. Loebner is famous for this mayonnaise-based concoction.
Is it egg salad?
Yes, egg salad, Wendy, yes. You're at 392. You would have 400, but
thanks,
you were mean.
Todd.
You lost 8 points. There's one question left. I bet you guys can figure out where the Special Jeopardy question is. Who had the last correct answer? It was Tisa. Now, Tisa, so far, you're our leader with 2,200. Laura's in second with 1,900. Who was it?
I think it was
Laura was the last correct?
All right. Yes, yes.
Laura, the board is yours. 1,900. You're trailing by 300. Ted's still in it at 1,406. So whoever gets this right is in pretty good shape.
Is this the sound effect one?
Actually, yeah. You do the sound effect. Here goes. Good luck. Oh, well, how do we do this if there's only one left? Because it has to go to Laura, right? Laura, how much do you want to wager on this? You have 1,900. How much do you want to wager?
And Tisa has 2,200. What if we tie?
Oh.
Yeah, what does happen if we tie?
Then Ted wins.
Ted wins. That's a weird rule that nobody knows. But
we'll go with 400.
400. I like that you kept it close. That was very nice of you to do. All right, so essentially, if you get this right, you will be our winner. If not, Tisa will be our winner, right? That's how it plays out.
But we all chance to answer it, though.
No, because it was the last one left.
Okay.
So it's
all
to
on you. Okay.
Wait,
didn't plan this well, where that was the last one.
Yeah. I didn't think it would be the last one.
What about Final Jeopardy?
It's too hard to do because we don't have pens and papers. Who could afford such things? It's impossible.
I have a Final
Jeopardy question if we want to do it that way. Should we do it that way? Because I have one. I have one written up.
All right. Well, we're not going to do this one at all?
No, we'll still do it.
Oh, okay.
We'll still do it. Do you want to change your bet, though? You were at 400. You can alter the bet if you like.
Well, no, because then it takes more away from me, doesn't it?
Yeah,
so,
it would.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So you get it right. You get 400. You guys, the two of you, Tisa, Ted, you are not eligible. This only goes to Laura for 400. Here goes. John Lovitz's character, Tommy Flanagan, likes to tell people that he's married to this lovely actress, but he is something of a liar.
Oh, so... But read it again.
John Lovitz's character, Tommy Flanagan, likes to tell people that he's married to this lovely actress, but he is something of a liar. For 400, Laura, any guesses?
Who is...
No, time on that one.
Yeah.
When do you know this
remember.
One? Morgan Fairchild.
Oh.
Morgan Fairchild.
Yeah, that's it.
You lose 400 on that. You're at 1,500. Tisa, you have 2,200. You're our leader. Ted, you're at 1,406. There will be Final Jeopardy. The crowd has spoken. They want Final Jeopardy. They'll get Final Jeopardy.
So how do we do this?
We have to give you each a pen and a piece of paper, right? Ernie, is that doable? So come back tomorrow when we have a pen and a piece of paper for each of you. You can use my pen.
There's another pen.
Yeah? All right. So here's what I'll need you all to do. I'll need you to write down a dollar amount and show that dollar amount to Ernie. It cannot exceed how much money you have in your bank. Tisa, you have $2,200 in your bank. Laura, you have $1,500. I'm sorry, you just lost $400. So you have $1,500. Ted, you have $1,406. And put an asterisk by that so we remember.
We have to do this in 2 minutes.
Do we get the category first or no?
The category is SNL history, Saturday Night Live history.
So put down how much they want us.
Put down how much your wager is for.
That's a stupid word, wager.
Wager.
How much
the password is wager.
Okay.
All right. So just to reiterate the scores, Tisa, you are currently at 2,200, 1,500 for you, Laura, and 1,406 for you, Ted.
And now they have to write down their answers?
Write down your answer. And Wendy, I'll need you to do the theme.
Not yet. All right. Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
While they're
here pondering. Is the clue for SNL history. The clue is this. This venerable sportscaster, whose variety show debuted in 1975, also had the title Saturday Night Live. Here is that question one more time. This venerable sportscaster also had a variety show that debuted in 1975 and was called Saturday Night Live. Wendy, the theme.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sultry.
Dun,
very dun, sultry.
Dun, 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 dun.
I would not be shocked if King Features calls you and says that's the version we want to use on Real Jeopardy from now on, because that was sultry.
Oh.
Ted, you're at 1406. How much did you wage? Oh, first give us your answer. What did you answer?
Howard Cosell.
Howard Cosell is the correct answer. How much did you wager?
1,200.
I don't have a pen. Can I use your pen?
Yes.
We add 1,200 to that, so that gives you 2,606. In second place...
He's going to win by six.
...is Laura, who had 1,500. What was your answer, Laura?
I couldn't think... It was Cosell, and I couldn't think of his name, so I'm like, what, Cosno?
Cosno.
I couldn't remember his name.
Cosno
anyway,
the Magnificent.
Yes.
Incorrect.
How much are we subtracting?
What was your wager?
A grand.
A thousand. This puts you at 500. Uh-oh, it's going to get crazy here. Tisa, you were at 2,200. What was your answer?
I couldn't remember, of course, no. Until he said it. I wrote, this is for my sister, Turd Ferguson.
How much did you wager?
1,000.
Uh-oh. You know what that means, everybody. Our winner is Ted.
This could only happen on Saturday Night Live.
This could only happen here.
All right. Congratulations. I ripped up the paper, but you are going to be going to see the amazing play that is written by Alan Zweibel. Bunny Bunny. You're going to go see Gilda Radner, A Sort of Love Story. It's now playing at the Mercury Theater. If you're not Ted and you didn't win tickets, you can get tickets at mercurytheaterchicago.com or you can call 773-325-1700. Ted is the big winner.
Wow.
He came from behind. And Tisa and Laura, your consolation prize, I hate to share it because I really want it. It's a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weather Makers, Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, and we will give you one to bring home. Congratulations. Bill, you did an amazing job.
Thank you. That was fun.
As did our contestants.
That was fun. Thanks to Marlene for putting this together. Thanks for Jasmine. Really appreciate it. Ernie did a fine job, and everybody back at the station.
Ben and Casera.
And Ben Gazzara, who is also always good. What an actor. And thanks to all of you for coming out today. Greatly appreciate it. I hope you had a great time.